All you entrepreneurs out there, we have a fun one today. We have Jeff Stacer. He's a family law attorney that has been in the business close to 40 years. During that time, he has had his high moments, low moments. We get to dive deeper in this episode on how he's been able to keep focus on his low moments. Take a listen. Please subscribe. Love to hear your feedback.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, I'm here with Jeff Stacer, family law attorney. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Hi, Vinny. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, so tell the people a little about what got you in this. Well, first tell us about your practice.
I'm a family law attorney. I started November of 1979. I've been a temporary pro tem judge 15 years. I've evolved into doing about half litigation and half mediation. So okay. I do family law, and we offer all sorts of related services.
Okay, and what brought you into the business?
I have a passion for helping people. That probably came, I was thinking of being a doctor, but then when I realized what being a doctor was, I got off that track and went to law school anyway. And I just like helping people.
Well, I have to jump on it with the doctor and the law. Isn't the schooling fairly similar, or is it just too much of a headache or too much of a stress, or what was that idea?
I thought that being a doctor, I would deal with things that I can see.
Okay.
And no, doctoring is math, chemistry, and molecular attachments and all that kind of stuff. And I really wanted to deal with people.
Fair enough. And have you been able to deal with enough people since you've been in this practice?
Every time I think I've seen it all, I realize I haven't. I absolutely am sure that fiction comes from real life stories.
Fair enough. Well, this podcast is all about trying to hear about people's struggles and how they've overcome them. And you've been in the business for an extended period of time. What are some of the struggles, some of the big hurdles that you've seen in your business?
I'm not a pay stub person. I'm self-employed. And so you have ebb and flow of cash flow, and you always, as a pay stub person, I guess you can show up just about any way to work. In my line of work and your line of work, you got to show up ready to go and with a positive mental attitude and broadcast that kind of positive energy.
Yeah.
So you got to always kind of stay up.
And as an entrepreneur, a business owner, 2008, you're saying that recession really infected your business, correct?
That, I tried to start another business in 01, August of 01. We put about 50 grand into it and paid for a speaker, 10 grand to come and talk, and 9/11 hit.
Oh,
and then we in 2008, we tried to start another business, and the recession hit. The recession didn't hit my law business until winter of 2010, spring of 2011, and basically all income stopped.
Wow, okay.
And we still had, tons of overhead going through retirement accounts. Many other attorneys in my profession were hit with that. Everybody was scared, not knowing what to do. I got into a bad mindset and I started sharing asking other attorneys about their problems and sharing the problems and so on. But I figured a way to get out of it.
Wow. Was there a time that you thought about maybe stepping away from the law firm and looking at another business or?
No. Oh, yes.
Okay.
2001, 2008, and 2011. The bad time to start a business, 2008, that crashed. But the one I started in 2011 is my side business, side gig, doing really well.
Yeah, fair enough. No, so that'd be really tough. So to push through it, it was finding good support of other attorneys and walking through the struggles with them?
No, okay, absolutely not.
Okay.
This other business has a training program, a leadership training program that trains you about your mindset. I went to a presentation, I think it was in Vegas, in July of 2011, and there was a presentation about handling objections if you're doing sales. And the whole point of the presentation was you've got to handle your internal objections first.
Yeah.
And basically it was about mindset and using what I heard in that one presentation. The very next day when I got home, I flipped my my mind around, and all of a sudden things changed. Instead of dwelling on the problems, which kind of attracts that kind of stuff,
yeah,
I created and dwelled on where I wanted to be, and that's what started coming in almost immediately.
So how long did it take for it to actually become something consistent, or what did you do to change your mindset of, instead of dwelling on the bad things, but focus on the positive things?
There's a great book called Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire by Richard Brooke,
okay,
B-R-O-O-K-E, and he talks about basically how to reprogram your subconscious. And for example, I'm self-employed, and sometimes there's a dip in income, and I'm wondering how I'm going to make payroll, rent, and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And if you get into that mindset where you're worried and fearful, then that's what you attract. So I actually have this little ditty I do at night, and maybe you'll laugh, but it's I imagine I'm shaking a money tree that instead of leaves, it's got $100 bills. I shake it. I sing a little ditty before I go to sleep, and about shaking that money tree, and the $100 bills all fall down. I gather them up in bushels and take them to the bank. Now, is that reality? No. But it flips my mind into a mindset of abundance.
Yeah.
And then I go do what I need to do, as opposed to fear. And when you flip your mind into what you want, all of a sudden the filters get rotated and your radar goes out where your subconscious is trying to find things in all of your sensory data that's coming into your head that will support that.
So that had to be a total out of the left field kind of thought analogy, or not analogy, but a thought of having the abundance mindset. So when they started telling you this, your new company that you joined up with started telling you, I want you to do this, I want you to think before you sleep, I want you to actually think about this money tree, quote unquote. How did that hit you?
I came up with a money tree idea, okay, but when you get advised from people that are obviously superbly personally developed and very, very successful, you listen, don't you?
Yeah.
You listen to a fat guy about how to lose weight. That doesn't work. Listen to a poor person about how to make money. No, they don't have any credibility. These people, this guy that he did an incredible presentation just had my jaw dropped, and it jerked me out of my bad mindset.
So having that mindset, that focus every day, the money tree, focusing on the positives, if you were back in 2007, 2008, 2009, that time that was really difficult, if you had known what you know today back then, would that think a world of difference, be a world of difference for you? Or would it be the same? Or what do you think?
You know, even in hard times, there are people that do pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay. And I absolutely believe that your mindset and rotating the filters to support that, and because your brain handles, your subconscious handles all sorts of sensory data that your conscious brain, you know, isn't really even aware of.
Yeah.
And that controls the filters of what you become consciously aware of. And so you can walk right by something that could be tremendously helpful, but if you weren't looking for it, you won't see it.
Yeah.
And so hang around good, solid people that have what you want, and stay positive and take action.
No, I definitely couldn't agree with you more. Now, going on the fact of bringing on new clients, your online presence was, I think, another hurdle that you had to overcome, correct?
I've been a divorce lawyer for over 39 years. I have a huge satisfied referral base,
yeah,
and I should be able to live on referrals from that huge referral base.
Yeah.
But no, the last 5, 6, 7 years, and research surveys are showing this, people are Googling before they're asking friends and family for referrals for, you know, divorce, family law help.
Yeah.
And I've had to, about half of my business comes in from social media, the internet, you know, Googling.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand, especially for attorneys, there's a lot of red tape of what you can actually advertise, right, on social media and post on there.
You know, when I started practice, attorneys were severely limited on what they could say, how they could advertise and all. These days, you can't make promises. You can't say anything that's untrue, but you can do just about anything, I think, otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. So it's fairly straightforward there. Do you advertise on other platforms or for the online presence, or is it really just social media just being taking hold of that presence?
My particular target market is probably 35 and up.
Okay.
And into the early mid 60s, something like that. And so it's more of a Google internet website presence and all that than, I mean, I've tried some Facebook and all that, but I I'm still experimenting with it, but I think I'm heading more towards Google and people that do searches and making sure my website is really active and not static.
So with the struggle of building an online presence, has it been yourself that have been taking the chance, taking the risk of doing it, or have you outsourced that? Or
I found that I would go to chamber events and meet people, collect cards, and I'd end up with a stack of cards that I'd throw away every 4 or 5 months because I didn't follow through immediately, and then it felt embarrassing to contact somebody I met 2 months ago. And so I hired somebody to keep me planting the seed out there, because in family law, somebody can have I can have a marketing contact 7 years ago and they're finally ready to do it.
Yeah.
So I hired somebody, I call her a marketing coordinator, that helps set up lunches, coffees, and helps me extend out my reach into the chamber events, works with my internet guy, and basically is managing all that kind of stuff to keep it happening, whereas I just don't have the follow-through time to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is a lot about struggles for entrepreneurs. One of the things that is very unique when we talked before was the way you look at mediation, the way you look at divorces, the way you look at bringing two people together with a common goal. And I think we always have our internal struggles that we're dealing with and external struggles that we're dealing with. And so we have to overcome that. So in essence, you're overcoming these two struggles, two hurdles for these two individuals. How do you look at mediation? How do you look at divorces? How does that?
Nearly all of the family law attorneys will do a consult with somebody for the purpose of getting a retainer, you know, amount of money put in the trust account, and then doing a court case. I don't do that. We have free workshops twice a month where my wife and I show up and answer questions. She does the child and the emotional issues, and I deal with the legal. We her class, she's taught for over 20 years on how to get parents to stop reacting to each other and to be the best parents they can be. And so I'm looking for ways to finesse settlements and to keep people out of the court system and keep the costs down so the people are in and they're not dwelling on one of the worst times in their lives and they're in and out getting done with it. And then I fortify them with audios and PDF books and references to things, because you don't want to repeat mistakes and you want to learn from what happened. I remember after I left my wife back in 1990, I read a book called You Just Don't Understand by Deborah Tannen, and I realized, you know, how much more sophisticated female communication is, and I just wasn't catching her message, and that got her more and more frustrated, which evolved into her sort of stabbing me in the heart to try and catch my attention. So I really want to pass on education to people so that they start learning, the women to how to dummy their communication down a little bit, and the men how to maybe catch more of what they're trying to say. And I mean, it's a fact. Women start from the time they're itty-bitty little girls learning how to communicate, and guys are all about kicking something or playing sports or whatever, and so they're very different from us.
So if you could go back to, let's say you're coaching or training your younger self, right, on a topic like that where you're with the knowledge you know today, how would you help them get to where you are quicker, I guess?
In my profession?
Yeah. Oh, in your profession, in just communication, a lot of this stuff. It sounds you've learned a lot from over those many years.
My wife has been into personal development, Dr. Dina Stacer, for over 30 years. If you Google her name, DWENA Stacer. I think the first 10 pages are full of her without anybody else. So she's very, very adept at marketing and personal development and all of that. And I would really push people to figure out what they want, read that Mach 2 book, really focus on achieving what they want, and then gathering all the other education along the way so that they learn how to, I mean, your net worth is worth, is your network, that they say. Hmm. And
so
you
the
want
people
to,
you surround yourself by.
You want social capital.
Yeah.
You want to have as many different connections as possible, because it's people you know that get you where you want to go.
Yeah. So if a new family law attorney, right, was coming to the business or in law school right now, and they're thinking about getting into the business in the next couple of years, would you say that would be the first, one of the big steps you want to do is really building a strong foundation around you, a good network? Or
absolutely, and also education and communication, and really education on helping people to figure out what they want. And people, you know, emotions drive court cases, and I just hate long court cases, because you end up with a client that's, even if you totally win, they aren't really happy because it just cost them a fortune.
Yeah. Do you see any changes happening? And I don't even know if there's been changes or big changes happen over the last 20 years. Is there big changes that you foresee happening in your profession?
The society and people can't afford the current adversarial system for divorce. And there have been all these programs that have come out to turn it into an administrative function and keep people out of court. And we still have court cases, but it just, emotions drive court cases. It isn't logical. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's somebody that had some emotional injury, or maybe they're just whacked. That's a legal term of art. and they can't stand to be alone, and they keep the fight alive. And the problem is that really devastates the children, and they end up repeating things later on, where we're having more and more parents that are messing up kids that turned into messed up adults that then mess up a future generation. And so that's my wife and my passion to try and stop that.
And you have a workshop, right? Once a month, or is it twice a month?
The first Wednesday night of every month and the third Saturday morning of every month. We throw a big table out there. We used to have much bigger things, but we and my wife, who's a many times over published on the high conflict child custody stuff, and she's taught that for over, she got her PhD for developing a curriculum and a program. And she's done trainings across the United States, Canada, as far away as Hong Kong. And So 20-plus years, she's taught basically parents how to disconnect and how to raise. I mean, you don't get a manual when you have a kid. And she teaches all sorts of really cool things that will teach the parents to teach their kids basically how to plan for the future. It all boils down to how to plan for the future. As a parent, if you've done that for your kid, you've done your job, I think.
If people were listening right now and they wanted to come to the workshop or reach out to you because they had questions about family law, what would be the best way of getting in contact, website, what would be the best way?
Well, StacerLaw, StacerLaw.com is my main website. And my wife's website is ParentsInConflict.com. And you can reach either from either website. But there's a workshop pull down, there's mediation pull down, and there's frequently asked questions. There's all sorts of information there that can help. And so we love to have people come to the workshops, get their questions. A lot of people don't even know the questions to ask.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
And you aren't alone. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You're going to learn from other people's questions at the free workshops.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff, I appreciate all the time you've given us, and hopefully you people listening out there were able to get them good information and hear about the struggles that Jeff's overcome and how he's changed his mindset. Jeff, any parting words that you want to say?
Yes, Vinny. I think you probably do your clients a great service. You are all about growth mindset yourself, and personal development and service. And I am really impressed with the things that you're doing with your business. And I sure am happy and glad to have met you.
And no, guys, I didn't pay him for that level of kindness right there. That's just Jeff.
That was sincere. I know I get marketed by home loan people and real estate agents every day. Every day, and you are several cuts above the norm. I'm actually very sincere about that.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Well, hope you guys had a great one. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or on the website. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.